So this morning, I want to preach on the beauty of forgiveness. We will be talking about a subject that is really easy to take, but very hard to give. It's very easy to take, but it's very hard to give. And that's the subject of forgiveness. When you don't forgive, it is like putting yourself in a prison of bitterness, grudge, anger, and putting the deadbolt of pride. When you don't forgive, your world gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and soon you don't want to go anywhere, or else you might see that person that you hate. That's what unforgiving spirit does. But when you forgive, you are freeing two persons. The one you forgive and you who forgive. You're freeing two persons. Do you want to live a life in prison? Very easy. Just don't forgive. Very easy. Just don't forgive. There are lots of people today who are physically free, but emotionally in prison because of unforgiving spirit. I tell you, friend, this is a deadly one. This is something that we all need to learn. We're going to read a story here about a person who was forgiven. This person was forgiven, but he doesn't want to forgive others. And how it relates to us who are forgiven by God. Let's read. Verse 23. I'd like to take you in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Therefore, Jesus said, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not paid, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do forgive not everyone of his brother their trespasses. What a powerful story from Jesus. It was from Jesus. He was the one telling the story. And first of all, I would like you to see the unpayable debt. In verse 24, by the way, if you can turn the sound a little bit down, it's on the white one, the white wireless, I changed it. White wireless mic, please. White handheld. Okay. Let's look at, first of all, the unpayable debt. The unpayable debt. Verse 24. Sometimes we read this story and we kind of go through it and we did not really realize how much this guy owed his master. The Bible says, and when he had begun to reckon, the master, when he sat down and looked who owes him and which one, and when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him, look here, 10,000 talents. Anybody has an idea how much that is? 10,000 talents. You know, in those days, a day's wage is one denarii. They call it denarii. And one denarii is one day. And if you have 6,000 denarii, 6,000 denarii, that's 6,000 days of work, you'll have one talent. One talent. 6,000 denarii. That's average wage. So, but this guy owes him 10,000 talents. What is 10,000 talents? A talent was a measurement. Actually, the Bible, Jesus never said what kind of talent. It's a like today would say kilo or pound. But Jesus never said if it was a talents of gold or talents of silver. If it was a talent of gold, it would be around $11 billion. $11 billion that this person owed his master. If it was a talent of silver, a little cheaper, it'd still be $161 million today. And that's what he owes his master. $11 billion or $161 million today. In short, his debt was unpayable. He can work for 200,000. In some sense, we as a person owes God. We owe him with things that we can't pay ourselves. None of us can pay our debt to God. We are all sinners. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is you and I. We are all sinners, and because of that, we cannot pay our sin. You can be a good person all of your life and still not pay your sin. The Bible actually says there's no man upon the earth that is good and not sin. That is Ecclesiastes, book of Ecclesiastes. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you know that you are a sinner? Do you know that you are a sinner and we sin against one person, and that is God and God only? First of all, we sin against one person, and that's the creator of this universe, and that's the creator of you. The Bible says we were like a sheep who has been astray. You know a sheep? You feed him, you try to take care of him, but then he go astray and work against you and doesn't do his master. That's like us. God has created us and has given us all the things that you and I have. The family that you have, the work that you have, the property that you say it's yours, but it's God's. All of these things, the strength that you have, the health that you have, it's all from God. How much do we give to him? That's us. We owe God an unpayable debt. Number two, I would like you to look at the, not just the unpayable debt, but the understanding master. verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I like you to look at that words that he said to this master. When the master said, well, I want those who owe me, I want you to come. And there was this man who owes millions and billions of dollars to his master. And look at what he said. The Bible says the servant fell down and worshiped. That's good. Two things he did. Good. But look at what he said. Lord, have patience with me. Well, obviously, this Lord has a lot of patience with him. I mean, he won't let him have that all of that millions and billions of dollars owe him if he doesn't have patience with him. He said, Lord, have patience with me. And look at what he said. I will pay thee all. How absurd that is for somebody who say, Lord, I'll pay you. Just be patient. Just wait. I'll be able to pay you. Well, we all know he can't pay that much money. There's no way he can pay that much money. There's no way that you and I can pay that billions of dollars. But he said, I'll pay you, Lord. And you know, that's what we tell God. That's what we tell him. And the Lord said, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Look at the servant, the master. The Lord was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the death. Look at this situation here. At one point, this servant has millions and billions of dollars that he owed his master. He came to his master and said, Lord, he worshiped him, he fell out of his feet and worshiped him. Lord, please forgive me. I'll pay you. You know what the master said? He looked at him. And he knows this guy can't pay him anything. There's no way this guy can pay him. But you know what forgave him of his death? It was the compassion of the master. He looked at him and said, Loose him, and let him go. At one point, he owes billions.
Let's look at some of the verses from the Bible. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Amen. Psalm 103, verse 8 to 12. I like you, if you have time, go to Psalm 103, verse 8. The Bible says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." He was not equalitarian. He did not give us what we deserve. "For as the heaven is high above the earth," look here, "so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." That's how God look at us. He look at us as our, as his children, and his love toward us is what makes us and what gives us forgiveness of sin. You know what I was doing this sermon last night? My son Charles. Roy, to go to living room and play. Okay? Go to living room. I'm going to study here. I want you to go and play. But you know how many times they knock on the door? A lot of times. They keep bugging me, "Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!" So I locked the door. He said, "Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!" What can a father do? Open the door. He can't open the door, that little Charles. He can't open the door. There was no way he can open the door. But what let him come in? It was a father's heart that let him come in. Right? How can a person like you and I get saved and go to heaven? Was it because of you? There's no way because of you. It was a father's heart that let us come in. Number three. Now we saw the unpayable debt, the understanding master. Let's look at the unrighteous servant. Look at this man. Verse 28. "But the same servant who was forgiven, he went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owe him," how much? 100 pence. That is 100 denarii. That is 100 days of work. In short, it probably be 3 to 4 months work. And this guy can pay him. Be around $10,000 to $15,000, compared to millions and billions of dollars that he owed his master, and he was forgiven. This man owes him 3 to 4 months of average work, and look at what he did. "And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, and saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" This person probably is right. He can pay it. But look at what he said. "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." The one who was forgiven with billions and millions of dollars, he found his fellow servant that owes him. You know, the feeling that you have for this man, you know, you despise him. How come this man is like that? You know, he was just forgiven with lots of money, but he can't forgive somebody else who owes him a little bit of money. But the truth is, that's like us. That's you and I. You who was forgiven by God, you who was bound for hell for eternity, and you can pay it yourself, and somebody forgot to say hi to you. Somebody who said something you don't like and you can attend, you can forgive it. That's how long we work. That's me. Somebody who just crossed your path and said, I'm not going to forgive you. Somebody who talked bad words about you and you've heard it. Oh, that person. I'm not going to forgive him. Somebody who doesn't do what you want to do and you have a hard time forgiving him. That's exactly who we are. Exactly who we are. I want to read you a story about Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom and her family resisted the Nazis by hiding Jews in their home. They were ultimately discovered and sent to a concentration camp. Corrie barely survived until the end of the war. Her family members died in captivity. Seared by this terrible trial by fire, Corrie's faith in God also survived. And she spent much of her time in the post-war years traveling in Germany and in Europe, sharing her faith in Christ. On one occasion, in 1947, while speaking in a church, she noticed a balding man in a gray overcoat near the rear of the basement room. She had been speaking on the subject of God's forgiveness. But her heart was froze within her when she recognized this man. She could picture him as she had seen him so many times before, in his blue Nazi uniform with a visored cap, the cruelest of the guards at the Ravensbrück camp, where Corrie had suffered most horrible indignities and where her own sister had died. Yet here this man, he was there at the end of her talk, coming up at the aisle toward her with his hand thrust out, saying, "Thank you for the fine message," he said. "How wonderful it is to know that all our sins are forgiven, and it's at the bottom of the sea." His hand still out for Corrie. Yes, Corrie had said that. She had spoken so easily on God's forgiven, but here was a man whom she despised and condemned with every fiber of her being. She couldn't take his hand. She couldn't extend forgiveness to this Nazi oppressor. She realized that this man didn't remember her. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands? And then he said, "You mentioned Ravensbrück." The man continued, his hand still extended. He said, "I was a guard there. I'm ashamed to admit it, but it's true. But since then, I've come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It has been hard for me to forgive myself for all the cruel things I did. But I know that God has forgiven me. And please, if you would, I would like to hear from your lips too that God has forgiven me." And Corrie recorded her response in her book. She said, "I stood there, I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven and could not forgive." It could not have been many seconds that it stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seems hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew it. It was as simple, as horrible as that. And still I stood there with a coldness clutching my heart. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprung into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. She said, "I forgive you, brother." I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hand. The former guard and the former prisoner, I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. That was Corrie Ten Boom. Number four, I want you to look in verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They were sorry. They were disgusted about this servant who can't forgive, who was just forgiven, and came and told their Lord all that was done, the master. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And Jesus said, "Likewise my Father also will do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses."